I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two. I'm joined by the gorgeous Lou Featherstone, a.k.a. Lou in Lululand. Mate, I have some burning questions from the listeners of the podcast. Can I dive straight in? I'm not taking credit for these. They're fantastic. Okay, so the first one is it true you ended up in a convent because of your bad behaviour?
Yes, brilliant. I did.
Nothing surprises me with you anymore, but tell me, what got you in? What got you in there?
No, I think they were just, the wit's end with me. They keep a tighter rein on me at the convent. Poor old sister Margaret Mary, I'm not sure she's ever recovered. I wasn't even that wild. I used to do things like pretend to faint in typing classes. I mean, it was very lame rebellion at the, It was the boys. I think my dad was trying to keep me away from boys. I loved getting fingered, Vicky. What can I say? And I also am a massive advocate for fingering because you can't catch anything. Do fingering, kids. You can't catch anything and you can't get pregnant. It's very underrated as an activity.
For a while, I'm sure it was a comedian who said it, but like fingering looked like it was going to go extinct. But I absolutely think it's an imperative part of the process. Like, I can't understand how you get to the end goal without it, if I'm honest. That might just be my preference. But like, yeah, you're speaking to the right person if you're looking for an advocate for fingering, like, because I'm with you.
Make fingering great again.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so that was your dad, who obviously was a member of the clergy, thinking, keep her away from boys, get her
keep
back
her
on the
away
street.
From the boys.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it didn't really work. just made it worse.
Yeah. Did it just make it worse? Was you like, oh God, obsessed. I can't have it now. I want it more.
Of course.
I find that, mate, like with everything. Like if I even tell myself, like, all right, not that I do this anymore, but like years ago, I used to be like, right, you're going out to the weekend, no carbs. And like I'd be walking down the street and I'd say, like, people just transform into dancing baguettes in front of us,
right.
You know?
You're just like, hallucinating cake by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the day you give anything up.
Just like shimmying pita breads and everything, girl. The minute you tell yourself you can't have something, oh, you actually can't. Like, you just put it on a pedestal. You put that penis on a pedestal. That's what your dad did.
Put that dick on pedestal. Just make it a goal.
Okay. So obviously you've spoken really honestly, quite bravely about your spending addiction and stuff like that. The listeners want to know, how did not spending for a year affect your spend? Like, how did it affect your spending habit? Did you think that kicked it? And also, how did it change your style?
Oh, it completely changed my style. I learned so much from that year. It's unbelievable. I think the main thing I learned was that I already had what I needed. So if you think about the wardrobe as a metaphor for life, I had all this stuff there. I was so obsessed with trends, you know, part of it was, you know, I would literally buy new stuff. I was obsessed with Heat magazine and Closer and Now, and I was trend mad. So I was always in Topshop buying the latest thing or, you know, but that year I learned to make do with what I already had and I mixed and matched what I already had. So it completely changed my style, which in turn gave me a new confidence. When I think back, I sound like when a drinker's giving up drinking and they're worried that they're not going to be fun anymore. Are you giving up drugs and you're worried you're not going to be the life and soul of the party anymore? And I was like, what are people going to talk to me about if I haven't got the latest outfit from Topshop on? But actually, really quickly, I discovered that people enjoyed the fact that I was wearing, you know, a tutu and a sequin cardigan to work on a Wednesday. Because I was like, I stopped keeping things for best and started wearing the best stuff all the time. I was like, what if I die and get hit by a bus and I go down looking, A, I'm going to go down looking like shit. But B, that really expensive thing that I did buy that I never wear, that I save for best, is just going to waste. Yeah. So I started to style things differently. And now I look back, I'm like, gosh, that, I already had everything I needed inside. I just needed to rethink it. Yeah. And I think that as a metaphor for my life, sort of like I've carried that on. I got it all. Just how do I, you know, I've just got to think about things in a different way, put life together in a different way, and just be out there with it. But it's also,
it's a really nice message about not deferring happiness as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I love it. People thank me. People go, oh, you look so lovely today. Thank you for cheering me up. And I'm like, all right. But it does. It cheers people up. People enjoy my outfits. It brings people to me. I have amazing conversations with people because they are like, oh, I love your outfit. And I really try to encourage women to like just tell another bird that they look good. If you see somebody who's made an effort, say, I like your outfit. Not only does it make them feel amazing and makes their day, it makes you feel great. And then you get quite addicted to doing it. Sometimes I tell people who look shit they look great just because it's just a nice thing to do.
It's addictive to make someone else feel nice, isn't it? I think that's really important.
It is. And I like being told I look nice. So, you know, I go out and you call it attention seeking, if you will. I don't care. You know, I just like being told I look nice. But, you know,
she's a peacock people... and proud.
I'm not apologising for that. Fuck that. So, yes. And I also started vintage shopping after that. After the year, I did go back to shopping. But it made me aware of how I shopped. I've subsequently diagnosed myself with ADHD in the last year. And I think my spending addiction and my impulsivity is definitely linked to ADHD now. And so my spending makes a bit more sense to me when I think about it around ADHD. But I found vintage and secondhand because after that year, I liked wearing my fancy stuff more. So I started looking for it. And the last thing I want to do is be on fucking trend. If I turn up and someone's wearing the same thing as me, I'm absolutely mortified. I will leave the event and go home. So I want, you know, special one-off pieces that no one else has got. And so I started vintage shopping and then that opened a whole other world to me. It was a really massive pivotal year for me for so many reasons, yeah. Just doing that, setting myself those little challenges.
And also as well, like you started essentially like renting out your wardrobe on Instagram and stuff like that. And I feel like you are quite like at the forefront of this whole pre-loved movement that now everybody is obsessed with, things like reliked, vinted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like I said to you at the beginning, I was one of the first people ever to do outfit of the day. They weren't fancy, they were cool, but there wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I got quicker at the transitions. But I don't know, I think it made you a bit more daring, you know. I started taking people vintage shopping and teaching them how to vintage shop and how to navigate the vintage shop. And I really just enjoyed watching people get out of their comfort zone with the clothes and try something new. When I was taking them shopping, I'd send them all a form before they came shopping with me. And I was like, you know, how would you describe your style? What do you like? Why are you coming to me? Anything else they need to know? Every motherfucking form. And this goes for women and the men that came to me. So I had loads of the gays came to me as well. They would start their form with, I can't wear yellow. I can't wear stripes. My legs are too short. My tits are too long. My bum's too big. This doesn't suit me. They started their form with what they couldn't wear or what they couldn't do. And it drove me absolutely mad. So then my challenge was always, right, freak them out. Like, really get them out of their comfort zone. So I want to shock everybody. Yeah, my challenge is this. So the lady who came to me who only ever wore black and white, she went home with a yellow jumpsuit. Anyway, so I learned so much during these vintage shopping tours with women. So then I started shopping again loads, really loads of vintage. So I was like, okay, shopping's getting out of control again. Need to reel myself in. What can I do? So I started renting out the wardrobe. And women come to the wardrobe. They come with their mates for safety. You know, I get a bottle of wine out, put the tunes on. And I'm like, come on. And because it's free, because it's renting, so it's cheaper, mm-hmm. They'll be a bit more daring. And because I'm there going, come on, try it, go on. Oh, I don't think I could wear that to a wedding. I'm like, yes, you fucking can, try it. So then they would, because I'm there giving them, cheering them on, they go, okay, I'll wear the sequin suit. So they go off to the wedding in the sequin suit, and they're like, oh, I might outdo the bride. I'm like, doesn't matter, outdo the bride, go on, go, shine, go and shine. You know, I'm getting texts from wedding going, oh my God, everyone loves my outfit. Everyone's taking pictures of me. And they come back holding themselves differently. And so that's why I sort of really try to encourage, you know, step out your style. And it's a really good place to start. If you lost your confidence, especially in middle age or menopause or motherhood, and you're trying to get your confidence back, it's a really good place to start. Like, put a sequin cardi on, go to the supermarket, see how you feel. Bet you someone tells you you look nice. You hold yourself a bit different. Next day, you're like, oh, what shall I wear today? It's just little things that start to make a little bit of an effort.
It's like a spiral.
It's a journey, mate.
It's a journey, love. It's a journey.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's a question about, obviously, slight different, segueing into something slightly more serious, yeah? But it's about the video of you eating eclairs in your car after your divorce, which, quite frankly, mate, I feel like is the perfect way to deal with a divorce, regardless of whether, you know, you are happy. Yeah, oh, no, no. It felt like that was something you'd do when you were really sad. And also, a divorce, to me, like, It does feel like the end of an era, whether it was, you know, a happy marriage or not. So I can understand it. But they were wondering why exactly you decided to get divorced.
Oh, see, now you can make me cry.
I'm so sorry. I tried to segue in a way that was nice.
Can we not stick with the clothes? Yeah. Do you know what? I loved my marriage. You know, you're about to get married. It's you know, as little girls, I suppose it's what we dream of. And I loved the safety of a partnership. And he was a wicked partner and a really great mate. And I know, you know, we had a great love, but it was very inequitable. And lots of that are lots of the reasons I've talked about today, because I didn't speak up for what I needed. And we almost let it get too far, I think.
Yeah.
So by the time I sort of started to find my voice and we went for therapy together in the end, we just sort of couldn't quite match our way back together. And I didn't feel like a partner, but I, to him, and I, but I never, it's okay. I never thought of myself as a partner. I spent 20 years going, you don't treat me like, I don't feel equal. I don't feel equal. I didn't feel equal. I didn't present myself as equal. Instead, I was shadily shopping and shadily stealing money. And, you know, so I was always on the, I always felt on the back foot because I wasn't able to be honest. So then I would like not ask for what I needed because I felt guilty because I was doing something shady on the side. And so by the time we sort of like did try to figure it out, we'd just done this so far, you know, and I often think about, it's like telling a kid, letting your kid put his feet on the table for 26 years, you know, after 26 years, I go, could you take your feet off the table? And I'm like, well, why would I? I've put my feet on the table for 26 years and go, well, I don't really like it. Could you at least put one foot on the floor and we could go there? No, and I quite like having my feet on the table.
Yeah, no, it is exactly that. Like when you've got away with doing something or when you're used to living a certain way for so long, finding your way back to compromise feels almost impossible.
And I think, I don't know, it just, there was a nagging discontent in me that I just, there was more I needed more. I've also had a boyfriend since I was 11 years old. I've overlapped every boyfriend. I've been unfaithful to every single one. I had lined them up. Bing, 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 bing. And I just was like, I want to see what this looks like for me.
Well, I'm like on my own.
Yeah, yeah. And ironically, now I'm back with the man that I left for my husband. I'm now back with him.
So, oh my God, it's funny how life works, isn't it, Lou?
Isn't it? And I don't know if it's the greatest love story of all time or we're absolutely mad, but I'm getting the life banged out of me and we are, I don't know, I've never had a relationship where I'm able to ask for what I need or say what I want and I've got my house. When I was packing up the house to leave, which was probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do when you've, you know, separated. And the whole thing was tricky. I was, I was leaving to go. I decided to buy a bus and take it on tour. Instagram had really been growing. And I felt the need to just go out and meet women in real life. I'm fun online, but I just wanted to go out and meet real women. So I bought a 32 foot bus and painted it pink and green neon leopard print and decided to go off on tour around America, preaching self-love, masturbation and confidence. Because, you know, as you do. That I put this sexual part of me away in my marriage. And so for 6 months, we knew I was going on tour. And when my husband and I separated, I just went into the spare room. So we were sort of trying to navigate life. It was really brutal. I mean, I think it was amazing in lots of ways because we were forced into finding this new sort of relationship together. But it was brutal. So on the calendar, we had, you know, normally when you leave your husband or somebody leaves, it's a big argument. Someone packs a bag and fucks off. We had it on for 6 months. Mum leaves on the 21st of June. Oh, so we had this most brutal countdown. And I'm going off around America on my own in this damn stupid bus. I've got to pack up the house to leave.
And that was that signaled the end of your marriage and you are going off. And that's a big transition, Lou. I feel like anxious.
Do you know what I did? Do you know what I did? I parked that bus. You know, I'm saying to you that now and again, I have to call him and say, sorry. I parked that bus outside of our house the night before I left. And he helped me design the wrap of the bus. He's a designer and he helped me design the bus, which was the most generous permission that he gave me to say, go. But he helped me load my clothes into the bus. And then that next morning, half of Portland turned out to wave me goodbye and everyone's like playing tunes and bring me champagne and waving flags. And my husband and my son are standing there and watch me drive away. It was probably the cruelest thing I've ever done in my life. Like after everything that we've been through and all the good years that we have, I that was pretty fucking cruel.
I don't think it was cruel, Lou. I think you did something for yourself, you know, that you had to do. I know it might feel like that, but yeah, I think you'd been selfless or you tried to make something work for as long as you could.
Yeah.
I think you needed
that. I don't know. It feels cruel. It felt cruel. God, I did not cry. I actually screamed. Luckily, I had a friend with me. And it was quite a steep hill down to sort of turn onto this main road. And I got stuck. I was screaming and shaking. And she was just like, I got stuck turning the bus onto the main road. She was like, just turn the wheel. Just turn the wheel. We just got to turn the wheel. And I'm like, So on Wednesday this week, I literally fly. And where I will do my TED talk is down the road from where I drove. The road that I drove down goes past the venue where I'm going to do the talk about the self-love revolution journey. And I'm like, oh my God, so emotional. It's going to be freaking wild. But yeah, you need a chocolate eclair, mate, after divorce, I tell you.
Oh, absolutely.
It's awful.
I'm really sorry. I asked you that. I didn't mean to.
No, do you know what? I'm actually recording an episode on divorce this afternoon myself. So I've been thinking about it a lot this weekend and how brutal it is. Even an amicable one is brutal. Yeah. It shifts everything. Every relationship you have with every single person. Like we were amicable. People still took sides. Yeah. There's no sides to take. People can't handle it. You're like, wow, there's a fence. You could sit on it. It's fine. Yeah. But people don't know how to handle it, you know. Some days I'm like, would it be better if we had a big battle? I remember when I spoke to the divorce lawyer And I said, how does it work then an amicable divorce? So she went, well, you make a list of all the assets and who gets what. And then you sign each, I give them to him and he gives them to you. And that's it. And it's $3,500. And I went, is that it? And she went, yeah. And I went, oh, that feels really sad. Like, it feels like my marriage should be worth more. She went, well, yeah, we could fight for something if you want to. And I went, well, I don't really want to, but that sounds really lame.
I know what you mean. I bet you're just not used to an awful lot of divorces going like that either. You know, it sounds like you were both very mature and very measured. And there was a lot of love there. So congratulations for being so thoughtful and lovely. And I'm sorry about the eclairs. If you ever feel the need to eat them again, I'll come with you.
Come join me. I go four at a time, though. I've got to warn you. Double fisting.
Before I let you go, Lou, I'd really like to end on a high note. Yeah, because I feel like I've...
Oh, yeah.
Really ruined
Ricky
it with
Patterson
that last
ruined
one.
My life.
Did not anticipate so many ruined
my makeup.
I'm so sorry. You still look gorgeous. No, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom, and even though I feel like I'm being incredibly greedy because you've been so open and generous with your advice and your life story so far, it would feel amiss if I was to not get your secret to self-love.
Oh, mate. Oh, at the risk of going into another long answer because I'm incapable of answering briefly.
We don't mind. I think loved it.
It's all the things I've talked about today. It's finding your voice. It's boundaries. It's forgiveness. Forgiving yourself for your shit. Owning your shit, right? Owning where you... things you've done wrong, things you could have done better, forgiving yourself for those things, forgiving people who have done you wrong, which I make sound really, really easy. There's an episode in the podcast coming up about it. But forgiving somebody who's fucked you over is incredibly freeing for you. Don't do it for them. Fuck them. I mean, if they want to hear and forgive you, that's great. But by asking, you know, saying I'm sorry, that's, you know, one thing. But then, you know, admitting where you've gone wrong is huge. I think fitness, making time and space for yourself, getting laid a lot.
Highly recommend shagging.
Masturbating has been a huge part of my journey. When I moved into the spare room and I got a vibrator, I had discovered sex and sexual pleasure for myself the first time. Like I said, I've been with a boy since I was 11. Yeah. And at sex, I'm really good at sex. I practiced it a lot. I have many, many skills. But they're always about somebody else, you know? Yeah. They're always about making somebody else look, you know, feel good. They were never about me. And so I sort of wanked myself into confidence with, you know, learning about my body, which has helped me through the menopause. Being real, keeping it real, keeping it honest. All of those things, really. And, of course, listening to the Self Love Revolution podcast, which will give you top tips for all of these things.
Shamelessly plugged and wonderful.
How good was that? I'm getting better at this, you know.
Smooth. So smooth.
I'm crap at promoting myself, so I'm trying a bit hard.
I think just being you is promotion enough, Lou. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've learned a lot and I've laughed loads too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Legend.
Well, guys, that was the gorgeous Lou Featherstone. We laughed, we cried, we had a lovely time. What a beautiful soul. If you want to hear more of Lou, her podcast, The Self-Love Revolution, is available now on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts. I really enjoyed talking to her. She made us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Make sure you give her a follow as well on Instagram. It is Lou in Luland. Have a really great week, everybody. You deserve it. And as always, please make sure you're following us on social media, on Instagram, on TikTok, and don't forget, we're now on YouTube.
Cool.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.